when you're the one that has to be the preacher and doing, you know, doing these kind of things that we do, you have to be mindful of everybody and every circumstance and every situation. And so having said that, because we're having the children in with us, that there's, you know, we're not going to really have any kind of really deep sermons and long sermons. And not that you get any really, really deep sermons from me anyway, but we want to make sure that the children are blessed too, because it's kind of like we have to do a children's church in the midst of this. So having said that, I'm going to have my watch right here. And you remember, right, what Bishop Costantino says about when he puts his watch down in front of him and what that means? Nothing. It means nothing. We're going to really do our best to bless our kids and everyone today, and pray that in the midst of everything, that just like that song, and that's one of my favorite songs that we sang earlier, is just about just getting a word from the Lord. You know, just word of God, speak to me, you know. That's what I know that I need. So I want to just talk about something that's kind of a special thing in my life, and something special, I really believe, for all of us when we take advantage of it. And you know, when you preach, there's this myth that you're supposed to preach from only the readings of the day, or even some people will even go farther as far as to say you have to preach from the gospel. Well, there's really no such rule anywhere in CEC or Catholic Church or Episcopal Church or anywhere. You preach from, you can preach from anything that's spoken about in the liturgy or in the readings. So that encompasses a lot when you consider that we say the Lord's Prayer, we say the Creed, we say the blessings, we do the Eucharist, all those things. Anything is legitimate to speak from. And so this morning I am going to take something from what normally, or what at least some of us consider to be part of the liturgy, and I pray that it will minister to you. I want to just share this in a way that you understand this is preaching to me. This is speaking to me. And I just wrote down six different things that occur or that happen or that are a part of my experience in my life, just as I live life every day. And if there's something that goes on in your life, then I pray, even if all six of them aren't a part of your daily or weekly or monthly living, then at least I believe that some of these will strike home to you. First of all, due to the circumstances that surround me in my life, due to just the way things happen, just because of the people around me, because of the way things are, what I have to do or don't do. Due to those circumstances, I get worn down and sometimes feel spiritually weak. Is there anybody that never has happened to? Okay. I also, number two, tend at times to feel vulnerable and unprotected. And speaking in that way, emotionally, but even, and sometimes physically, but even spiritually, that I feel vulnerable and unprotected. Number three, I have a need for spiritual assurance that I can depend on. I have a need for spiritual assurance, an innate, built-in need for spiritual assurance that I can depend on. Fourth, I have a desire to believe that somebody cares about me. Number five, I have a need to be accepted. And then last, I have a built-in desire to be at peace. Okay, now all those things may not be a part of you or your life at any point in time, but for me, it's almost like daily, all these things. So, I come to church. So, I read the Bible. So, I pray. So, I, like, and again, that song, it's so powerful, that song, you know, because it's like, I go, "What, Lord, when I sit down to pray, what do I have to say to you, Lord? I need you to speak to me. What do I have to say to the Lord, other than lifting up maybe needs of others and all these things? But, you know, what I really need is for God to speak to me." And so I want to look back in Numbers chapter 6 and speak something there that is familiar with all of us, or to all of us, even today. When Moses was instructed to speak to Aaron, this is Numbers starting in chapter 6, verse 22. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.'" Now, here's the thing about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And again, we sang about it a little bit in one of the other songs. And I believe it's even in one of the passages of Scripture that we heard this morning. You know, this was a great thing for Aaron to speak this blessing on God's people. It was a great thing for Moses to speak to God's people. It was a great thing that we can look in all the passages of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and see how God spoke and God did things and God, you know, blessed his people, God strengthened his people, God called his people back in, God let, hey, you know, when his people came to him, God showed up, his presence was there. But here's the deal is, we have a better blessing. We have a better word. We have a complete word. You know, a blessing is a benediction. It's the final, it's the end. And here's the deal is, we have this benediction, this blessing, and it ended there on the cross, or actually ended in his resurrection. But that was all a part. His death, his burial, his resurrection was the benediction that we have, which is a better word than what Moses had. And so the blessing that we have are better blessings. And so when we pray this blessing, it's not contingent on how we act. It's not contingent on whether we have, you know, fulfilled or pleased God in some way. We found that Jesus Christ fulfilled everything and all things so that these blessings can be upon us. So that there's nothing that we can do to get a better blessing than we already have. But that God just wants us to know that this is what I say to you, and this is what God's word is to us. And so every day when my wife has to leave and go to work, and sometimes she goes to work, you know, early, pretty early. Sometimes it's a little later, but she goes to work, and before she walks out the door, I say to her, no matter what, no matter if I'm in the middle of something, whatever, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift his countenance on you and give you his peace. So this morning, I just want to share just a little bit of what that means to bless like that. And then I want to encourage you to bless each other, to bless your children, to bless your parents, this with this simple blessing. Amen. That's right. And that is the point here. This blessing that comes from God, it's not because you've somehow earned it. Jesus earned it. He paid for it. It's that you have it. And it's so you can bless others. Because everything, and I'm going to get to all that. But I just thought it was pretty good. So first he says, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And the blessing that we receive through Jesus, it's not like Moses gave these blessings. And you can read Deuteronomy, Numbers, all those things are true and they're good. You know, but there were physical blessings. There were blessings of the land. There were blessings of, you know, all kinds of things that were there for physical prosperity and all kinds of different things. And it's not that those things, that we don't have some of those things also, but the blessing that Jesus gives us is a spiritual blessing. And it's an eternal blessing. And so therefore, it is a complete blessing. It's complete. It's total. It's eternal. It never ends. So it's not just about things that we could get or that happen to us, circumstances that change or happen to us, or that we get more money or that we get more land or that we have more, more things than other people that aren't Christians, all that stuff. It's about a spiritual and eternal blessing that we have that supersedes all of those things. So whatever we have or don't have, however much money we have or don't have, or however much land we have or don't have, or however much we have and then lose, or whatever it is, that the blessing that God gives us, the blessing that Jesus gives us, it's eternal. So it supersedes those. It's like, it's not about, you know, it's, boy, the blessing, you know what? If I really could just claim every blessing, I guess, or you know, something from this earth, you know, I guess I'd want to be like young again or something. I think. I've hesitated on that one. But the fact is that doesn't happen. Right, Father Don? It's a fact. You young people need to know that. It is a fact. You will not get younger. But it won't matter. Because the spiritual blessing that you have is eternal. And you don't have to look for the fountain of youth. You have the fountain of youth. Your destiny and your blessing is to live forever. Amen. Okay. So you're blessed. He said, the Lord bless you. And then he said, the Lord keep you. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What I'm trying to deal with or to try to say to you is that all of those things, those six characteristics of our life that I listed, that God has an answer to every one of them. That when we tend to feel unprotected and vulnerable, that we know that we have, you know, that in this life, other people may let us down. People may say they'll do something and they don't. Or people may, you know, whatever they do, and they with all of the best intentions, they may let us down. But that we have a good shepherd. Amen. And that we're his sheep. And we have a good shepherd. And we can count on that. So we can know that he watches out for us. That when there are real, real enemies, the enemies of our soul, that come against us, that he is the good shepherd, and that he protects us, that he keeps us safe, that we don't have to feel vulnerable, that we don't have to feel unprotected. And again, it's a spiritual thing. And then he says, the Lord make his face shine on you. And you know, you could say a whole lot about that. But the bottom line is that he will make you aware of his presence. Now, Don had a word, Father Don had a word for me, a word for really for the church this morning, that there is just this incredible joy that exists here this morning. And listen, that joy, and here's the scripture that I had for this one, is that in His presence there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. In His presence. And again, like, you know, it's just, there are those times, and I think that coming together as a congregation, coming together on Sunday to worship and to be in God's presence in the singing songs and just worshiping together and being together, there's a special way that God manifests Himself that makes His presence known to us. And in that, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. But we don't have to come to church, and we don't have to wait till Sunday to experience the joy, that fullness of joy. There are many ways that we can be involved in His presence. And I want to read from Psalm 32. And I love this psalm. I'll start in verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever, the fever heat of summer. Oh, boy. We can relate to that. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Now, we have experienced the total, absolute forgiveness of our sin and the payment for it. So it's even a better word than the psalmist could write. But he says, he goes on to say in verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. And this is the verse that I like. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. And you know, I don't know about you, but there are just times when we come together and we worship and we just start singing songs. You know, I just feel a deliverance, a cleansing, a thing. Something happens there are songs of deliverance that really bring us into the presence of God. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And it goes on and on. It's a great, great psalm, Psalm 32. But he says that he will make us aware of his presence, and that in his presence there's fullness of joy. And then in Psalm 34, it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And again, we have in us a need for spiritual assurance that we can depend on. And we can depend on Jesus, and that it is His face that we see. And it, you know, I could go on and on about this, but there are a lot of ways that you can have spirituality, but there's nothing like the assurance of being in the presence of God manifested through His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Then he says, let the Lord be gracious to you. Now, I like what one writer said about this. He called it an inner wealth. An inner wealth. An inner wealth that is the blessing of the Spirit which God abundantly gives to us. And then Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? This is speaking of a gracious God. You know, we don't have to wait on God's mood to change for Him to be gracious to us. Or for Him to love us, or for Him to want the best for us. He never changes in those ways. His desire is to be gracious to us. His desire is to pour out blessings. God doesn't bless us because we want Him to. He blesses us because He wants to. Because we're the crown of His creation. And so He manifested that. He showed us how that happens through His Son, Jesus Christ, and what Christ did for us. And then He says to lift His countenance on you. And again, this is kind of an interesting word, this countenance, the Hebrew word. I think you have to because basically the word means acceptance or accept. So I believe for me, it's like that there's just this thing happened with God that Jesus and the life of Jesus shows us, and the face of Jesus shows us that we're accepted, and I guess they use the word countenance because it reflects a change in a person. You know, a change from somebody like looking down or looking glum or being sad to someone just to be, to have their whole countenance changed so that they accept you and love you, and that there's just something that there's something you can see in their face that everything is okay. You know, and I think that's how God's countenance is for us. It's like it doesn't matter. Again, it's like He's not going to be. It's not like God is angry at us. His anger was fulfilled on the cross, but He wants to show us as we look into His face, as we see His countenance, that He accepts us. And so, so Isaiah 54:8 says that in overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And again, I think some of these things just spoke prophetically into who Christ is and who God really is to us, how God has made Himself now known to mankind. It suggests also His interest, you know, and again, those are things that you can see in someone's countenance. Like if somebody's really interested in you, they're paying attention to you. It suggests His interest as well as His readiness to help. That there's just something that you can see in someone's countenance. And I know that that's something that I need in my life, is to know that God accepts me and that His countenance doesn't change. It's a look of approval and acceptance that the Lord gives to those who live by faith in Him. And then the last one is just that He would grant us peace. You know, again, like I said earlier, that's just, I think it's an innate desire that all of us have, that all of humankind has, is to have a sense of peace. Now, people will look for that in a lot of different ways. I mean, people look for it in their activities, and who their friends are, or who they think of themselves, and their self-image. All of those things. And especially, most people, I think, look at it as wanting their circumstances to be peaceful. But that is not the kind of peace that God gives. His peace that passes all understanding is given to us in the midst of whatever our circumstances are. And that's how you know it's the peace of God. There's just a peace that, you know, that comes over you, that comes into your spirit, and you just know, this is the peace that I need. And it's the peace that only God can give you. It's the peace of knowing the fulfillment of Christ and His life in us. So I want to challenge you to look. You can look it up in Numbers chapter 6, or some of you probably know it by heart, but I want to challenge you to pray this blessing over your parents, over your children, over your friends, to pray it and have an understanding that it's not just, it's not again just something that we've memorized so we'll know it, but that it is, that it has a true meaning behind it. And the blessing that we bless others with is the blessing that Jesus has blessed us with. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.